It's the Monica J Show on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk for all of Northern Nevada. But I guess I can't talk about certain things. I guess I've been complaining too much about the blowing noise outside my window, even though it distracts me. I guess it upsets people, so they don't want to hear me complain about things like that. So I won't. I guess you can't hear it. Must be like the voices in Biden's head. Did you hear the gaffe the other day? Absolutely loved it. All over Facebook. I'm not going to go into Swalwell's thing on national TV. That's just disgusting. But when Biden says that Harry Reid was, you know, the whip or whatever, and I was always under the impression he was the Senate Majority Leader for so long. Biden really needs to just take a nap or get out of the race altogether. Do Democrats, do Republicans, do they not realize that we know what's going on? The American people are not stupid. And the money that is being wasted on a day-to-day basis. And speaking of that, I know, you know, I'm a Trump girl. Not only from when he came down the escalator this last time, but even before. Yeah, the before when he ran, I thought he should be in there. Doesn't it kind of make you sick to your stomach that we are going to spend billions of dollars to fight off people who just want to keep control and keep their cushy little worlds, ambassadors making policy decisions, the deep state, the swamp? We are going to spend billions of dollars to keep a man in office who is actually doing what he said, what he promised. No other president has ever done that. Promises made, promises kept. None of that, oh, I'm not going to raise taxes, 1,000 points of light, blah, blah, blah. It's amazing. Elected representatives, whether you're in city, county, state government, federal government, need to start realizing that the people that they look down to, the people working the land, farmers, ranchers, hands, taxi drivers, housekeepers, garbage men, whatever your job is, these elected representatives that look down at you and what you do and consider themselves better than us need to know that a lot of people are waking up. And there's going to be big happenings for the 2020 election. Democrats have said it. I'll say it too. The 2020 election really is for the heart and soul of this country, for the heart and soul of the people of America. Vagrants, bums, whatever you want to call them, lazy, homeless, addicted, mental, they're people too. And whether you like it or not, it falls on us to figure out the problems and the solutions of how to take care of them, how to fix the problem so we don't become like San Francisco. People live in their own little worlds, around their own little gated communities, walls around their houses. But the rest of us live in the real world. And the people in the real world are the ones making the difference. Let's go to the phone lines at 884-9910. Check in with Paul White this morning because Paul has a very special challenge for the city of Reno. And I think we should throw the city of Sparks in there as well. Paul, welcome to the show. Thank you for calling in.
Sure. Good morning, Monica.
So, hey, don't sound too excited about it, Paul.
Oh, no, I'm just peaceful this morning, agreeing with what you were
saying. Oh, okay. Peaceful morning. So, you've got a new hot sheet out on QOL-Reno.org going over some issues, but you actually want to make a challenge to the city of Reno.
Yeah, we've got a new hot sheet subscribers will be getting this afternoon, and you'll be hearing about. We're offering the city council an opportunity to virtually end homelessness on the street in Reno in 30 days, starting next Monday morning at 10 o'clock. And what it is, QOL Reno has been, in various incarnations, has been helping the homeless get off the street, the ones who want to, for over 40 years. And it's with that long and deep body of experience that we can tell the city council with complete confidence that there is not a single legitimate homeless person on the street in Reno as we speak this morning. Now, there's about 1,000 of them by count, and we're telling the city council we can help them prove that not one of them is legitimate. And what we're going to do is we're going to officially offer them the invitation for the 30-day challenge. We'd invite any of our listeners to come at 10 o'clock Monday morning outside of City Hall. And what we're telling the council is to send us any person. They can't send us one person off the street who's willing to be clean and sober, willing to work, willing to obey the law, and willing to get mental health support if they need it. They can't send us one person that we can't have housed and employed in 72 hours or less. And last night was a good example. I was going into a local restaurant, and a man, healthy, sharp guy in his 40s maybe, was begging for money for food outside this restaurant. And I stopped, and just within a couple of minutes of talking to him, well, I reminded him he's got two free meals a day, every day available in town. He knew that. He also let me, I said, well, you got food stamps. He says, no, I don't have food stamps. I said, well, then you've got another check. He said, yeah, I get $800 a month, Social Security. Well, that right there would be enough to put him in a really nice and plenty of beds available this morning, clean and sober house with about $150 a month left over. And that's not counting any kind of little jobs that we'd immediately start helping him get. So there's a perfect example. So, yeah, we're going to help the city prove, and so we'll see what the city council does. If they really care about the homeless, then they'll start referring them to us left and right, Monday morning.
I can't wait for the new hot sheet to come out. Now, is the new hot sheet already on the website?
No. It'll be going out probably early this afternoon.
Okay. So you actually just had a nice little sit down with Devin Reese, our mm-hmm. councilman for the city of Reno at large. And if people weren't able to join me yesterday, you can go back and hear me talking about it. But on Washoe Wrap, Washoe Residents for Appropriate Planning, washoerap.com, you can go on and see Steve Woolgas and I can't remember her name, but they went and spoke, had a coffee with Devin Reese and their opinions on him because he will be running for re-election. He was appointed this last time, so also vice mayor right now, chosen over longstanding people that have been on the council. What was your meeting like?
Well, I would say Mr. Reese is a, you know, pleasant, polite enough man, one-on-one. I would just say thoroughly unqualified for the position. I had reached out
to him. But he's a lawyer, Paul. He's a lawyer. That should make
him
qualified for everything.
Right. He may be a good lawyer, Monica. I don't know that, but I know that there's no transfer to what's needing to be done here in Reno. And, for example, I mentioned to Mr. Reese that he'd gone on Facebook in a podcast saying that QOL Reno were not good people. And I asked him, I said, I'm curious. We've never met. You never picked up the phone and called me or asked for anything. I said, we've done a number of very positive things. I said, where did you get this? And he said, well, several people on the Internet said so. And he said, we've heard that because you guys are bullies and been violent. Well, he's an attorney, right? So I asked him, could you tell me one example where anything we've ever done has been ever anything but just calm and wanting to help? And, of course, he had no evidence. Well, then I told him about...
Well, that's because if you were violent, Paul, you would have been arrested. But this just takes me back to the impeachment hearings that, you know, one of the congressmen had the gall to say that hearsay is better than physical evidence. So there you go. Sorry, we're dealing in a world of hearsay now.
Right, and just a couple quick things that your listeners would be interested in. Regarding the, I told Mr. Reese, I said, contrary to his no factual basis for anything wrong that QOL has ever done, I said, over a 48-hour period, I said, I got 850 emails and phone calls from people just threatening violence, wanting to kill me, wanting to burn my house down, all these things, and because they knew nothing about us. Well, Mr. Reese did not repudiate or speak against that or anything at all. That was perfectly okay. And that's incomprehensible to me, Monica. And then the other one.
Well, everybody has the right to say what they want to say. It's just, you know.
Right. Yeah, well, and then the other one with this situation.
I'm not surprised, Paul.
Well, the situation with the Truckee River.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, and I said, he was more concerned with what lab we got the water results from than what was going on. And I said, forget about us. Listen to the Truckee Meadows Water Authority tell you all this stuff that's going into the river from these camps and polluting our only source. And his comment was, as long as I can drink it when it comes out of the tap, I'm not that concerned about what anybody puts in there. Well, that's an incomprehensible statement. Yeah.
Why did we build a white water park if we're just going to put people in contaminated water and let them swim and build up the parks in downtown so much to let people be a part of the Truckee that's just, you know, no big deal.
Right.
You know, I've never mentioned this story on air, but I would like to share it, that I know a pond is different from a river or a stream, but the effect is the same thing. My young cousin, who had just everything going for him, was swimming in a pond, and because of the water, got a bacteria in his system that ate the valves of his heart. Literally ate his heart, the bacteria. And he died in his sleep at 23 with two babies and a wife left behind. Bacteria can kill people, and it only takes a little bit getting in your mouth, getting in your system, and people do that when they swim in the Truckee. I wouldn't set foot in the Truckee.
No, and here's the problem.
Hey, Paul, hang on just a second. I'll be back with you in just a second. But it's live and local FM talk for all of Northern Nevada. So we just saw the same thing for the Carson Valley, for their water source there. Water has to be protected. We'll be back right after this, 884-9910 on 92.3 and 99.1 FM talk. 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk, indeed, live and local FM Talk with the Monica Jay Show. Heading back to the phone line at 884-9910, checking in with Paul White from Quality of Life Reno. Paul, as we as I cut you off on our last conversation there, it's important for everyone to take an active role in protecting the Truckee River.
Yeah, it's...
You still there, Paul?
Oh, you bet. Yeah, it's incredibly important, Monica. And the concerning thing is that here, 2 weeks after we got that water test, it showed the water is far beyond human contact levels. Not a single city council member, not the city manager, have spoken up acknowledging this in anywhere. Nothing publicly on the record. That itself should be enough to absolutely have the community tell all seven of them to resign and put back in there. I mean, here's Vegas this morning in the paper, fearful about running out of water, et cetera, a real urgent issue. And here we are with plenty of water, and we won't protect it. There's no excuse for it.
It is, and I like that we are going into an election here in 2020, and I do know that Devin Reese is going to run for re-election since he was appointed to that seat, and he is a darling of the mayor. You know, so this is something that people have to consider when they're looking at those nice billboards and people are touting what we've done, what we've done. It's what they haven't done that is more important. So, Paul, thank you for keeping track and keeping up on all of this. And people need to get involved and help Paul fight the good fight. And that is for the quality of life that we live here in Northern Nevada. So QOL-Reno.org. Paul, thank you so much for your time today. And I can't wait till this afternoon when that hot sheet comes out. I'll be looking forward to it. It is the Monica Jay Show, but it's your show. It's live and local FM talk. And I was going to bring it up actually in the next segment as to what Paul had just alluded to there. Water officials coming forward and, as they put it, water scarcity in Nevada hits critical mass. Who is that coming from? The State Director of Natural Resources. Remember those meters that were installed on domestic wells? Remember the person who is going to be making this decision when they start allocating water from those domestic wells? That pipeline from the Elko area down to Las Vegas? Even with the Democrats here in Northern Nevada, I cannot believe that you won't fight for what we have here in Northern Nevada, in the Truckee Meadows. How beautiful it is, how we want to sustain our quality of life. We're being overdeveloped, and at every single turn, Southern Nevada is trying to steal our water. If we already are letting our water be polluted by vagrants, if we are already letting our elected representatives take all the water that they can and mismanage it from overdevelopment, where are we going to be a year from now? Where are we going to be 5 years from now? I have zero scaping in my front yard, but I have a park in my backyard. I have it for my dogs. I have it for my enjoyment. Because that's why I have a backyard. I don't want to go to the parks unless I'm going with parks to going to the park to do something. We are going to probably see a mandate like they did in Las Vegas that requires xeriscaping. Or has people, will even pay people to dig up their grass and put in xeriscaping. How about that for your tax dollars at work? Rather than protecting and fixing problems now. Again, it's all going to come back to you, the taxpayer, because elected representatives think about the now. They don't think about the future. It's 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. We'll be back after this Fox News update. Oh, you betcha. Talk about from farm to table. 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk, live and local FM Talk on the Monica Jay Show. 884-9910, whatever you want to talk about today. Or you can send me an email at monica@991fmtalk.com. We will be doing our turkey broadcast. Yes, it's going to be from Max Casino. All of our stations will be down there from 7 to 7 for the turkey drive for the Salvation Army. So we'd love to see you down there. Bring a by a frozen. They've made it very specific. They want a frozen turkey. You want to go out and get one for your table? That's absolutely fine. But make sure it's frozen that you drop off to Salvation Army. So let me tell you, I come from a ranching family. And always, especially my, I guess it would be great uncle. It was my grandfather's brother. Always right there in the ranch house. You went in, there's the Farmer's Almanac. It's better than watching local weathermen because really they don't know whether it's going to snow or whether it's not. I think that's how they got the name weatherman. Just kidding, guys. Jeez. Lighten up. I really do, even to this day, read the Farmer's Almanac, especially when I want to find out what the winter's going to be like. And this year, by the way, they were right on for last year. This year, they are predicting that the winter of 1920 will be freezing and frigid, with a lot of snow. Hefty snowfalls affecting the majority of the country. Will it actually get us? Don't know. It says areas east of the Rockies all the way to the Appalachians will experience a particularly brutal season. Well, if you haven't noticed, we're west of the Rockies. So, we might not get as much precipitation. We might just be getting the cold, frigid temperatures. I'm going to keep my fingers crossed that we get that moisture. But forecasting is never 100%. When it comes to our water, it's precious. And finally, an article worth reading at the RGJ. Sam Shad does a great job on Nevada Newsmakers, and they had a guest on, Brad Kroll, director of the, let's see, what is he the director of? Gotta love it. Don't have my information here. Department of Conservation and Natural Resources. So basically, he is saying in one statement what it seems like everybody in this community has been saying for years. But elected representatives choose to ignore because they've heard it. They've heard it from planning commissions. They've heard it from citizens. They've heard it from other officials. So my opinion would be they're choosing to ignore it. So here's Director Crowell's statement. To be blunt, I think we were already at that point, quite honestly. We are up against that much strain in our resources, water resources across the state, between historical over-appropriation or over-pumping in our water basin and people moving to Nevada, regardless of the number of tourists we have coming in. We have had an influx of population in the north and in the south. So I think we are already there. And he is talking about critical mass. He even questioned if the proposed pipeline to take water from rural eastern Nevada to Las Vegas is the best solution for Nevada's water scarcity. Scarcity. Why do you think that the governor and his minions in the South made sure that water meters were going to be on domestic wells? You notice he said domestic wells? So our properties, the little guys' properties. Not the big ranches and farms, because they knew that they would get pushback on that. They knew that wasn't going to happen. So in reading another article, putting this all on climate change, oh, please. Are you kidding me? Our weather is secular. I can't say it. Secular. It just keeps going around. We get this. If you've lived in Nevada long enough, you know you go through about 4 years of drought. You go through about 4 years of good weather. It can even be longer. Climate crisis is not the issue. We have a gas pipeline. Brings us our oil, brings us our gas. Guess what? If you're going to solve the problem that we do not have water here for the growth that the cities and the counties are planning on, even though the planners have told them no, the fix is easy, but nobody wants to get in and do it. And that is a pipeline from here to the ocean and desalinization. We're done. Our growth here is done. We need to bring water into this state, into the north, and into the south, and stop cherry-picking the different areas, the people that have dug wells, the people that might have a little bit of water, stop cherry-picking it to take it to the south, because you're destroying the north. It's your show. I need to stop talking when I see that red light go up. So let's go to the phone lines at 884-9910 and check in with Michael this morning. Hello, Michael. Would you like to get in on this conversation?
This one's easy to get in on. So based on your project and what you're talking about, the South went up into Eureka County and started buying ranch land, family farms and that, and lied about what they were doing. And then when they got it, the water rights were gone. In the North, we had the Vitler Project, which after talking to them last week, they said, one person says they're pumping 8,000 acre feet out of there. And somebody told me that they've only sold 200 acre feet of water rights. But the pumps and the wells are on the California-Nevada border of the Honey Lake Valley. So the thing of it is when you talk about the desalinization and that, I would think that the Californians wouldn't have a very good idea. They wouldn't be fond of your idea because they're going to claim that all that water on their coast is their water.
You know, I bet they do.
But that's what we're up against. We're pumping 8,000 acre feet of water on the Vitler Pipeline Project, according to one person in the water in the north here. We're pumping that water, and that water is all going to closed basins. Okay? So we're pumping water into a basin that the water can't get out of, and where's all the water going to go? Where's all the effluent going to go? What's it going to do to our domestic wealth?
It's going to flood out like it is right now in Lemon Valley.
Well, I understand. But there's legislation in areas, and it's not in this state, that talk about aquifers and taking water out of aquifers and depleting aquifers and the things that have to happen from the people that are taking the water out of the aquifers. And it's pretty interesting legislation that's taken place. And I don't know that the people here don't want to get behind such an idea so that we don't lose our domestic wealth.
We can't lose our domestic wealth. I mean, because you're talking about the effluent, too. The effluent doesn't just go on the top. You don't just flood an area. That's actually seeping through the ground as well and going in to private wells. I recommend anybody that have a private well, especially in the North Valleys, have your water tested.
Well, the other thing you want to do with testing your water at the same time is you want to figure out where your static is today, not in 10 years from now when you don't have a well. You want to figure out where your levels are, because if they start to deplete, then you got to find out where your water's going and why your water table is lowering.
It's like Sisolak has just a big straw, and it's just, you hear this sucking sound out of northern Nevada.
Well, there's truth in that, too. But, you know, last week the pivots for out in the North Valleys started showing up because they're going to grow alfalfa with the effluent. And the thing of it is that even Mexico couldn't grow vegetables off of the effluent because the USDA wouldn't go ahead and allow that produce into the United States.
Well, yeah, it could be contaminated with salmonella.
Right, but our county and city people are behind the idea of pumping the effluent out into the North Valley out there and going ahead and growing alfalfa with effluent.
We just need better candidates for elected representatives, people who know Nevada, who know northern Nevada. It's just ridiculous. Michael, thank you so much for the call. I got to take a break. You're always great information, and I'm so glad you called today. It's 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk, your live and local FM Talk. 884-9910, 884-9910 on the Monica Jay Show when you want to get your opinion out. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Tony and get more on your opinions on our water situation here in Nevada. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Monica. Hey, I'm up in Tahoe. I'm a native Californian. I know you might not want to hear that, but it sounds like you guys are...
Hey, I'm a native Californian.
Are going back to the... You're suffering the same thing that Northern Californians did when L.A. sucked all the water out of the Owens Valley and depleted the groundwater. Anyway, I think that a lot of Californians are coming to Nevada. There's no income state tax there. Maybe you ought to reinstate that. And then when Las Vegas stops building swimming pools and golf courses, maybe they should be a little more conservation-minded so the ranchers can have some water. I mean, just what you see is, you know, the water usage and the environmental planning around Vegas is not really good. People have to realize they live in the desert. Start conserving again. I mean, the
Bellagio, the Bellagio is beautiful with the fountains, but drain them before you drain us.
Yeah, right. I mean, there's got to be some equitable measures put in place and some consciousness by the residents that, look, you just can't move to Vegas and have it be green. It's got to be, I think that's happening in some ways down there, but I just see
it's affecting us. And of course, they've got that, you know, idea in their head too, that due to long droughts and climate change, that they're draining Lake Mead, that Lake Mead is not filling up. And you know what? Guess what?
Sure.
It's just because we're overbuilding and developers are getting paid. They want their money and they want their developments to go through. And we just don't have the water to sustain all this.
Yeah.
And then you
and
get the argument, Tony, that if you're not growing, you're dying.
Yeah. And the other thing is that you're going to grow with California population. I have a lot of friends that have moved out of California. They head right over the border. They're coming your way, and they love these houses.
Oh, God, please tell me they're Republicans.
And I don't know, but we were really tempted. We went to Smith and Mason Valleys, and I thought, God, it's gorgeous here. But there's something unsettling when you see ranches, acres and acres of these beautiful ranches, and then up on the hill is this mega mansion, and you realize how it's all going to go. That sounds...
Yeah.
Unless, you know, I mean, that's kind of the way of the future, unless everybody can get on board and just give up something, you know, give up your palm trees and your fountains.
Yeah, they're fighting the exact same thing, Tony. I mean, down in that area, they're looking at, you know, one development, the park development, at 2,500 homes. You know, how is that going to change the scenery? We have to have a better argument that if we're not growing, we're dying, then we need to step back and say, okay, we need to survive a different way than just development.
Right, sure.
Because we're at critical mass.
There's the attraction for people in the cities is to go out there and then, you know, love it and then love it to death. And pretty soon, I think those valleys in Nevada will be filled with all kinds of, you know, Costcos and homes, and people be shooing the wild horses out of their backyards. And so, I mean, it's just something precious that the planning needs to get on board. And I agree with you about elected officials need to realize that a way of life is going to be lost.
Yeah, so, because the planning commissions, the neighborhood advisory boards, they're saying no, but it's those elected representatives who are pushing it through and saying yes. So, Tony, thank you so much for the call, and enjoy your day in probably one of the most beautiful areas in all the world. Love Lake Tahoe. We need to have the real conversation. This growth, this non-smart growth, has got to be tamed. When you have the director of the water resources saying we're at critical mass and blaming Lake Mead being almost empty and going down and down because of climate change, Don't get me started on that. It's a good thing we only got a minute left of the show. Yeah. We're to the point now where the elected representatives have just been able to skate. We're at the hard decisions now. We're at the decisions that have to be made that just say no. Even our beautiful industrial park, Trick, they're looking for water. They even want that Swan Lake water with all the effluent in it. There's got to be something better to this than what we're doing right now. Let's have that conversation. 884-9910. It's the Monica Jay Show, your live and local FM talk show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Have a great day. Let's do this tomorrow.